This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. Happy Monday, Padres fans. It's time to discuss the weekend that was for the Padres with our Ben and Woods Linsider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Brought to you by the all-new Hummel Casino Resort, the player's place. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hummel Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hummel Casino Resort, the player's place.
We had to experience a little taste of something that Dennis knows well from his many years covering the San Diego Padres for the UT and then the Athletic, and that is life on the road with the Major League Baseball team. We went to Philly last week and got to see the guys. And Dennis, it's good to have you. What were your favorite things and least favorite things about traveling to cover a baseball team?
Rain delays.
That was bad.
All about that by now, right?
We got that. Yep.
And my favorite thing would be getting ice cream from Frank in Philly. So I don't know if you all got to partake.
No, missed
in
it.
The press box up there, but. Yeah, that is one of the distinct pleasures on the road.
So we were going to get it on Tuesday, and we went up there, and because the rain out was called so early, the whole crew had already left, and there was nothing up there for us. It was very sad.
The whole stadium was empty. We had free rein of the entire stadium.
We did get that cheesesteak from the visiting clubhouse, though, and it was amazing.
It was incredible.
Well, there you go. I hope that made up for it.
It did. It did. Yeah. It was spectacular. Just skimming through your piece here this morning. Yeah, I mean, look, Dennis, we've talked about this with you ad nauseum. I mean, you can add pieces to this lineup all you want. If the guys at the top don't do what they're, you know, supposed to do and what they're all paid pretty handsomely to do, this team's going nowhere. I mean, you're not going anywhere. If Jackson Merrill can't figure it out and Fernando Tatis Jr. can't find a way to be a little bit more consistent, then we're pretty much up a creek. You know, watching Jackson Merrill, it's so weird to see him chase so much after watching this pretty elite plate discipline that he had last year, and he's going out of the zone, up those tantalizing fastballs up. He's swinging at all of them now, Dennis, and it's not looking good right now for him.
Yeah, even the borderline pitches are giving him a lot of trouble right now. But to some extent, you expect this young guy, second year in the league, he wants to be great. Same thing with Fernando. They're both angry at themselves, understandably. They've spent kind of the past 2 months angry at themselves, but. He's gonna adjust. I'm pretty confident. I think we can all say that at this point. We saw him make some adjustments midseason last year, and obviously it led to one of the best second halves Dodgers have seen from one of their hitters in recent memory. So I think right now he's maybe stuck in between a little bit. He went into this year wanting to walk more, wanting to be more disciplined, and now he's just getting a ton of pitches outside the strike zone. So he's a guy who wants to be aggressive and wants to hit at the same time. So kind of that push-pull battle with him. But the fact is, kind of like you alluded to, he and Fernando have been two of the worst hitters on, one of the majors' worst offenses for close to 2 months now. So they've got to, get back to who they are. If they don't, the Padres are going to be in big trouble no matter who they added the trade deadline.
One thing that is impressive, though, for Jackson and Fernando, and Xander, even as a veteran, despite the offensive struggles, they have not carried it out to the field.
Not
all,
even a little.
All three of them continue to play defense well, and when they do get on, run the bases well and contribute in other ways when they can. And that, I think that's saying something, Dennis.
Yeah, and it explains why Fernando is going to the All-Star game. I know it's a surprise for a lot of people, maybe even slightly myself, but if you look at just his wins above replacement, he's top 10 in the league, and that's largely due to, like you said, Ben, his defense, his base running, the things that he is bringing each night despite the lack of offense. But, yeah, for Jackson, too, he's looked pretty smooth out there in center field, and that's what they definitely need, but again, even more, they need the offense. They need the slugging. So if those two guys can turn it on here in the second half and go into the All-Star break with a nice finishing homestand, that, again, would be as important as anything they would get, potentially by July 31st.
Talking to our pal Dennis Lynn from The Athletic, and it's funny, you mentioned Jackson Merrill and wanting to walk more. I can think of two guys that we talked to in spring training, two guys that both said, yeah, want to add that feather in the quiver, essentially, and neither of them are Jackson Merrill and Luis Arraez, who it's almost impossible to walk. It's almost as impossible to walk him as it is to strike him out, Dennis. And I wonder going into a season saying, you know, I need to walk more is kind of a weird approach in my mind, especially for such an elite contact hitter like Luis Arraez. Yes, he chases, you know, but he's able to do damage sometimes out of the zone, doesn't do damage on pitches in the zone. I don't know. That philosophy seems a bit odd to me. Guys like that are such good hitters, you know, wanting to incorporate walks into their game. I wonder if that's changed, you know, maybe their mentality this year when they're at the plate.
Maybe, especially for Jackson, who's, again, so young in the league and has a lot left to learn. You know, actually, I think he has walked more, up from like 5% last year to close to 8%. So, yeah, he's accomplished that goal so far, but it's come with a trade-off.
At what cost, right?
Exactly. I was talking to Victor Rodriguez for this piece that ran this morning, and he said we want him to be aggressive. We want him to be himself. You know, you can't just go up there and say, I'm going to walk more, because then you're not in a good position to hit. And right now he's not consistently enough in a good position to hit. And it's kind of leaving him maybe guessing at some pitches and reacting a little bit too late, rather than kind of letting the pitch dictate what he does with what he's swinging at and, you know, what pitches he's trying to do damage on. And right now he needs to get back to pitches he can handle and not kind of come out of his mechanics and chase those pitches above the strike zone and just be more patient, which is, you know, part of the dilemma too, because he does need to be more patient right now because that's the way he's getting pitched. So if he can get back to, you know, just being a little more selective but also being, you know, more aggressive like his usual self at the same time, that sounds contradictory, it's going to lead to much better results than he's seeing right now.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic is with us. And Dennis, we heard from the organization and particularly Mike Shildt, optimism for months about Yu Darvish returning. Well, it is finally happening. Yu Darvish will pitch tonight. You know, Michael King, we're still not sure about, starting to hear, you know, more like an August maybe date for his return. What's more of the unvarnished look at what the expectations are now for Yu Darvish and Michael King going forward?
Well, starting with Darvish, I think it's a really good sign that, you know, he's back before the All-Star break, and, you know, could end up make two starts before the All-Star break, tonight and Saturday, if everything goes according to the plan. But, you know, I always come back to him. He's almost 39. He's had a lot of mileage on that arm. It's been 10 years since his first Tommy John surgery. I'm not saying he's headed for another one, but there's always an expiration date for a lot of these guys, with especially, you know, the amount of mileage on his arm, which is, it does explain why he's taking this rehab so slow, because his elbow is clearly not 100%, as it never is for, you know, a lot of pitchers in the majors. But he's had all that mileage on his arm, and, you know, he's talked about throwing slower in recent weeks, because he hit 97 in that rehab start in May with El Paso, and that was actually his fastest pitch, if you include all his major league pitches, since 2023. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see him tonight try to throw more, you know, 93, 94, kind of harness that a little bit more, the velocity. And we'll see how long it lasts. I'm not trying to be pessimistic here, but he's almost 39 again. And, you know, there's probably an expiration date on that arm. So if you can give them, you know, a good second half and help them reach the playoffs, that's the best case scenario. If he can, you know, take some pressure off the back end of that rotation with some inexperienced pitchers, Padres would love that. So we'll see. But, you know, right now he's kind of an open question, but it's definitely good news that he's back. And as far as Michael King, I think August, maybe even September, or what you're looking at, but he's feeling better. I think he actually threw off the front of the mound the other day for the first time. So he's making progress.
Dennis, do you get the sense that at the deadline, there's a lot of those teams that are, you know, what you would call in flux, right? Like, I think the Boston Red Sox GM has come out and said, no, we're going to buy and sell. You know, like, they're one of those, like, we've got pieces to move, but we also want to add to improve our team. Every GM says it. Where do you get the sense that AJ stands on a guy like, I don't know, Dylan Cease? Is Dylan Cease pitching for the Padres after the deadline? And is it dependent on how Dylan Cease pitches like this week and next. Like if he goes out and continues this pretty bad stretch that he's been on, couple starts notwithstanding, is that a guy that they're going to look to maybe move and reload while also adding other pieces to try to make the playoffs?
It's a good question. I think if he were here pitching much better, it'd be even like a tougher question to answer. But right now, his value is not very high. So that kind of leads to more problems if you're going to trade him.
But isn't he one of those guys, though, that you look at and you go, yeah, but it's a tweak here, it's a tweak there. He's still throwing 99. He's still Dylan Cease. Like the track record is good enough, and he's young enough and healthy enough that.
But you're the Padres. You're saying that too.
I know, right?
But he's still Dylan Cease. We need him for the playoff stretch and the postseason.
I get it. I totally get it. I just really wonder, you know, what the future is. I don't think it's here beyond this year, and I do think you could get some pieces back from even with a down year for him.
Yeah, I think with AJ, you can never rule anything out. I think AJ's thinking here is first of all, he's helping a bunch of other teams like start losing a ton, so they start actually, you know, picking up his phone calls and talking to him about players they can trade him. But with Dylan, yeah, it's really interesting. I guess I could in theory see it going either way. Yeah, maybe they do some combination of buying and selling, but you know, this is a team that has put a lot of mileage on its bullpen, and they just straight up, they need Dylan to eat up a lot more innings, and they need him a lot more than what they could probably get for him, as opposed to, you know, it's too late now, but it's a lot better to, you know, try to trade one of these guys in the offseason when all 29 teams are going to want a guy like that. Well, maybe not all 29, but more like all 25. Maybe it's a lesson learned from. Yeah, maybe they should have traded Dylan Cease in the offseason, and they probably still would have been in position to contend if he had pitched like this because you know, he's pitching well under his expectations, and they've gotten better production from, you know, guys they haven't expected as much from. So we'll see in the next few weeks, I guess.
Dennis, good stuff. Appreciate your time as always. Have a good week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, brother.
Take care.
Dennis Lynn, our Lynn Sider from The Athletic.